Okay, good vach, good morning, Rabbi Osai. Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Lamed Vav. We are holding on the bottom of Lamed He. Well, it's, I guess, towards the middle of Lamed He, Amud Beis. Tana Debir Rabbi Yishmael. We had the tremendous chus of finishing the second parak in Shabbos and starting the third parak, which is parak Kira, which is a lot about Bishul and some about Mukta. And you can already start getting a bit of a geschmack, right? We've been doing this for over a month. You can already start getting it. You know, it's a little bit exciting to see different topics in Masechah Shabbos. You know, we talked about Hotzah for the most part of the first parak, and then we talked about Havara. And now we're going to talk about, Bishul. So it's kind of exciting to get this big overlook picture in terms of Masechah Shabbos. But anyway, let's dive back into the Gemara. We have been talking about this situation that they used to have back in the day. They used to blow shofar to arrive to announce the arrival of Shabbos. And then Tana Debir Rabbi Yishmael, this Bryce over here, is going to go into a little bit more depth about that process. So Shesh Tekiyos Token Erev Shabbos, they would blow six shofar blasts Erev Shabbos. Hischil L'tkoa Tekiyah Rishona, when they blew the first one, so Nimnu Ha'omdim Basada Milado or Milachrosh, the people working in the fields would stop digging and stop plowing. When we lasso is called malacha shabbosados, and to do any other malacha that they would do in the fields, veina krovim rishayim likanes ad sheyavo rechokim vikansu kulam keechad. And what the minhag they used to have is that the people who were closer to the house, right, the field was presumably pretty big, so the people closer to the houses would wait for the people in the fields, and then they would all walk in together, because they didn't want any be some Rashi says there's some sort of they didn't want to have. What's the phrase? Ayin, not Ayin Hara, oh my gosh. Maris Ayin, there shouldn't be any Maris Ayin for the, for the people who came in later, right? Because Lamaisa, if you come in closer to Shabbos, or maybe even after Shabbos has started, it looks like maybe you're doing Malach on Shabbos. Right? Rashi writes over here, Shalish, Yechashdu ha-nechnosim ba'achrona lomar she'asku ba'malachta nachar she'shemu kol ha-shofar. You don't want people to think that the people all the way out in the fields would have done Malacha after the shofar blast. So they waited for everybody to come into one circle, and then they kind of they went in together. And at that point, during the first shofar blast, the Gemara says the stores were still open, and the trusim are popular here in Eretz Yisrael. It's like a window guard. Should we say the equivalent in America? I guess would be the gate that they close outside of the window of the storefront. But anyway, they were still open, and the store, don't let your bosses in Chutz La'aretz see this, right? The stores were open till Mamish right before Shabbos. Hitchil et ko et ki ashniya, but then when they blew the second blast, so then they stalku et trusim, they would already close up the trusim. V'ninalu achanuyos, and the stores would get locked up. V'adayin chamin munachin al gabi kira, and the hot water was still resting on top of the stove. U'kideris munachos al gabi kira, and the pots of food were also resting on top of the stove. Hitchil itkoa tkia shlishis. Well, stove kira is not exactly a stove; it's more of like an oven situation, right? We'll explain that later today. Hitchil itkoa tkia shlishis. At the third blast, sozila kamasalik, the one who would remove the pots from the fire. Hitzmin hamatzmin, whoever was supposed to insulate the pots, right, to do hatmana, would insulate the pots. Hitlik amadlik, and whoever was lighting candles would light candles. The shokititzlias da katan, and the guy blowing shofar would wait the amount of time it takes to fry, to roast a small fish. O kidela hadbik pas batonra, or the amount of time it takes to kind of stick bread inside of an oven. Vitokea Mariu Vitokea, that's how they used to bake bread, by the way. They used to stick it on the walls of the oven, right? We mentioned that already a couple daf ago. Vitokea Maria Tokea, and he would blow a tkia. True atkia v'shoves, and then he would stop, and that would be Shabbos. Am Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi b'Chanina says, Shamati shim ba'la hadlik achar sheish tekios madlik. I heard that if you want to light candles after the six tekios, you're allowed to still light candles, meaning it's not Shabbos yet. Sharei nasnu chachamim shiur l'chazen ha'knesses la'olich shofar l'beiso, because the chachamim gave enough time to the chazen, to the guy blowing shofar, to run back to his house, right? We know that a shofar is mukta, so we didn't want him carrying the shofar home from wherever he was, from the porch right, where he was blowing shofar. So they gave him a little bit of time, a couple of minutes, or a couple of seconds, maybe, depending on where he lived, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, to run home and kind of put the chauffeur down so he wouldn't violate the Shabbos. So Amar Lo, they said to him, Imkina Satadah Varacha L'Shiurim. But if that's true, so then you already made the Chachamim's words into different Shiurim, right? In different cities, presumably, the guy lived different distances from where he would blow shofar. And Chazal in general, when they made their takanos, they like things to be uniform. They don't want, while here in Yishalayim, you have an extra 2 minutes, and in Bnei Barak, you have an extra 5 minutes, and in Tel Aviv, you have an extra 1 minute. They didn't like that. Chazal liked to be uniform in their shiurim. So rather, Ella, Makom Tsanua Yishalayim V'chazan HaKnesses Barosh Gago, instead, they said to him, I guess who's asking this kasha? So Amarlo, it doesn't say who it was, but okay. He would have a place. El makom tsnuah yesh lo lechazan haknesses barosh gago. He would have a place hidden on top of the roof. Shesham maniach shofaros, and that's where he would put his shofar. Lefi she'im betalten lo sa shofar v'lo sa chatzotzos, because you're not allowed to carry a shofar or the chatzotzos or a trumpet. They would use trumpets back in the day to kind of get either gather the nation or to tell them about God forbid a war or something. So they would you're not allowed to carry a shofar or a trumpet on Shabbos. Aye, the Gemara says about Tanya, didn't we learn shofar metaltal v'chotzotzos ino metaltalin, that a shofar you're allowed to carry, but a trumpet you're not allowed to carry. So Rav Yosef, it says over here, Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha kam biyachid kam betzibur. No, in the case of a private shofar that you are allowed to carry. In case of a public shofar, so then you're not. What's the difference? So, one of the rules of Muktzah, we know that we're allowed to use, again, this is a subject of debate, which we're going to talk about in a second, is that certain things are usher in general to use. Let's say a hammer. You're not allowed to use a hammer on Shabbos, threat to deal, to hit nails or whatever, that's usually an isser bona. But to crack open nuts, to use a utensil that's normally usher to use, but for a mutter purpose, in general, that's mutter. So for a shofar, you're not allowed to blow on Shabbos. But, as the Gemara is about to point out, you are allowed to kind of like cup some water in it and use it as a type of a straw to feed a child. Right? You can imagine if you pour some water in the wide end, and then you have like a almost like a straw type situation there at the narrow end, and you can use it in that way to kind of let the child drink. So the Gemara is going to say, a private one you're going to use to feed the child, but a public shofar, no, there are no kids around for the public to feed. I was going to say in a second that that's not true, but anyway, so that would be also. There's nothing you could use the shofar for if it was a public shofar. Amalei Abaye said to the Yochid, my chazi, what is a private shofar good for? Hol v'roi l'gemara bo mayim. You can kind of like get a child mayim latinok. You can allow a child or a baby to swallow and drink water from it. So b'tzibur nami chazi l'gemara latinok ani. And for the tzibur, Rashi writes, "Ashal tzibur lefarnaso." Right, the tzibur has to take care of a child, take care of children who are poor. There's a chov of the tzibur to be mefarnes of poor families. So it could be that the tzibur would use a shofar, the tzibur's shofar to feed a poor child. So the Gemara says, and also v'su hadatanya we learned in Rabbi Isaac, shem shema metaltalin is a shofar, gach metaltalin is a chatzotzos. Just like you're allowed to carry a shofar, you're allowed to carry the trumpets. So Gemara says, money, who is that? Who's that like? Meaning we have three brises. One of them says you're not allowed to carry either a shofar or a trumpet. One of them says the shofar, yes, trumpet, no. And then another brise over here says that you are allowed to carry both of them. So Gemara says, Elokasha, really, let's re-explain what's going on over here. HaRabbi Yehuda, HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbi Nechemiah. So there's a machlokas, as we pointed out before, in terms of muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue whether there, quote unquote, is muktzah or not. The phrase in the Gemara uses is Rabbi Yehuda ispe muktzah, or the Rabbi Shimon lesle muktzah, but it's really not true. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a much more narrow definition of muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's an expanded concept of muktzah, meaning that muktzah literally exists. As the way the Gemara phrases it. And then there's Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah holds that even more expansive than Rabbi Yehuda, that muktzah, you're not even allowed, for example, like we said, to use the hammer to crack open a nut, or to use a shofar to drink water for a child, to give water to a child. So he holds that not even that is muktzah, meaning that kelim are only allowed to be used for their designated purpose. So according to the Mishnah that says you're allowed to carry both of them, that's Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold a muktzah. According to the Mishnah, it says you're allowed to carry the shofar, but not the chatzotzros. That's Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that, you know, there is a concept of muktzah, but you are allowed to use kalim in a mutar way, if you can figure it out. And then finally, the one that says you're not allowed, the brisa that says you're not allowed to move either of them, that's Rabbi Nechemya, because according to Rabbi Nechemya, you're only allowed to use the kli in the manner in which it is used, and to use it in some weird way would be awesome. Okay, umay shofar nami chatzotzros. So, and what again? We said the first brisa, in metatzlan losa shofar losa chatzotzros. Right, you can't carry the shofar and the chatzotzros and the trumpets. So, obviously, if you can't carry a shofar, you definitely can't carry a trumpet. Right, a shofar has a potential use outside of blowing it. A trumpet is not able to do anything. So the Gemara says when it said a shofar, it meant a chatzotzos, it meant a trumpet. Keder Rav Chisda, like Rav Chisda explained, Dam Rav Chisda, Hani Tlas Mili Yishtani Shemayu Bechichar of Beis Hamikdash. These three things, it switched their names after the Beis Hamikdash were destroyed. Chatzotzra, shofar, shofar, chatzotzra, right? It used to be that a chatzotzra is a shofar, now the shofar is now a chatzotzra. And the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. What's the nafka mina? The shofar shol Rosh Hashana, for a shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says, "In token ela ba'oso sha'am aretz korin chatzotzros." Right, back in the day, they used to call a ram's horn a chatzotzros. But who's shofar? And that's actually a shofar. It's actually switched back now, obviously. So therefore, in ba'am haaretz lishol ba'meitaka omrim lo chatzotzros. Meaning the Am HaAretz back in the day, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, called the shofar a chatzotzros. So therefore, the brisa makes sense, because it's the shofar and the brisa is talking about a trumpet, and the chatzotzros is talking about a shofar. So therefore, it makes sense. It's a good order. Meaning, if you would have started the shofar, obviously you would have known chatzotzros, but the Gemara says that actually it's reverse. So told me trumpet and then a shofar. Because that's the order of the greater chiddush. Arava back in the Gemara, Arava is now called a tzaftzafa, and a tzaftzafa is now called a rava. So who cares? My nafkamina for lulav, for lulav. If that's what you're supposed to use, a tzaftzafa is another similar type of plant. Pisora, pisorasa, and pisorasa, pisora. Those two items, one is big and one is small. I'm not sure exactly what they are. Rashi says just originally one was big and one was small, and they switched. Okay, so like a mind off Camino the Mecca Chomemkar, just in terms of buying and selling, and if you buy a Pesor, of Pesorasa or a Pesora, you should know what you're getting. Amar Abayabai says, Af Anu Nemar Hovlila Bekasi, and Bekasi is Hovlila. Well, we also changed Bekasi to Hovlila. Basically, these are two pieces of, or I guess, stomachs inside of the cow, I think, in terms of which. One of them is really thin, and one of them is really thick. And the question is like this, is the Gemara is going to say, L'may nafkamina, who cares, what's the difference between those two things? L'mechet shenitzu be'ovi beis hakosos, d'mitzad echad k'shera mishnei tzadim trefa. That in the thick one, if you have a needle that's found, right, after you shech the cow, you check the stomach, to see, make sure it's not a trefa, it's not going to die soon. So if you have a needle that's sticking out of one side of the thick one, so it's still kosher, but if it's sticking out of two sides, then it's no longer kosher, it's a trefa. Whereas the thin one, even one side of the needle is no good. If the needle is poking out of one side, it's no good. So again, just in terms of these two stomachs inside of the cow, so they switch the names. So you have to know, when they're talking in terms of language, you have to know which is the thick one and which is the thin one, because it has a nafkamina and nuchas trefos. Okay, Amar Avashi. Avashi says, last one. Af anu namar bavel bursif and bursif bavel. Originally, what they called bavel, they changed to the name of bursif. And then, originally, what they called bursif, they started calling bavel. Mainafkamina, who cares? So, the gite nashim, for a get of a woman. We know that, Rachman al Tzlan, if a person has to give a get, so the names of the people involved are giving the get, and you need to have the name of the place where the get was given. Without the place, so the get is no good. And Lamaisa, you needed to have accurate names of the places as in terms of when the get was given. So if you wrote Bavel instead of Bursif, and actually the names were switched, so it could be that the get was possible. But either way, that was something important that they need to know back in the day. Okay, Hadr Alach B'Medo, Madlikin, Baruch Hashem, we have finished the second parak of Shabbos, and now we pivot. I hate pivoting in the middle of a shir, right? I always try and find a good place to stop, but obviously here we have no choice. And the Perek starts smack in the middle of today's daf, and therefore we need to switch gears. Okay, now we're on to Perek Kira. Perek Kira talks about, for the most part, at least it begins with, Hilchos Bishul. We know that cooking on Shabbos is Osmi Deraisa. Okay, that's Melechos of Bishul, one and third nine Melechos. To cook food, to start the cooking process on Erev Shabbos, let's say on Friday, to leave the pot on the stove and leave the stove going and not touch it is technically Mudr Midaraisa, similar to leaving on a light and just not touching the switch. So the Malacha got started Erev Shabbos, so it's not technically Osir Midaraisa. But Chazal made a bunch of takanos in their great wisdom to make sure that people wouldn't come and violate Bishul, or as we'll see, as we mentioned before, stoking the coals in terms of violating Havara. Because they saw that, if they didn't make these rabbinic enactments, shall we say, people would violate the malacha. So we're going to talk about a couple of them. The first one the first two really that are shayach for this Mishnah, and there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of halachic discourse based on this Mishnah and the Hemshech of the Gemara. But basically, the first two we have to talk about are Shehiya and Havzara. Shehiya, and it's good if you turn the tape off now and just burn this into your brain, so it'll really do a lot in terms of helping you understand the terminology and the rest of the parak. So Shehiya is leaving food on a fire on Erev Shabbos, putting it down on Friday and leaving it as it goes into Shabbos. Havzara is returning food to a fire source on Shabbos. That's the first. It's really the two things that you need to know. Okay, so we're going to talk about, and again, the reason why Chazal were assert in certain situations, these two things, Shehiya, leaving it on before Shabbos and leaving it on a fire source, because you may come Shami Echad Begachol, and you may come to stoke the coals, right? You leave a pot on the blech, or not a blech, but I guess a fire source on Erev Shabbos, and you see it's not cooking fast enough, so you may come to stoke the coals, make it cook a little faster. And Havzara is simply is usher because Mechzikim Evashel, it looks like you're cooking, right? You put a pot on a heat source on Shabbos, even though the food is completely cooked and you're not doing any actual cooking whatsoever, it looks like cooking, so therefore Chazal ushered it. Okay, with that little background, let's dive into the parak. Kira she'sikua bekashu bugvavo. Now, as we said, Shehiya is usher when you may come to stoke the coals. Let's say you have a kira, you have an oven stove type situation. The best way to describe a kira, I think, is like an open stone barbecue. You see them sometimes, I guess, in Eretz Yisrael, maybe perhaps more common, but then certainly I would imagine they have it in America also. Let's say on a beach somewhere. Let's say you have a rectangular kind of contraption. Let's say a rectangular building, a rectangular kind of oven situation built out of stones. Yeah, on the bottom you put your coals. You have a little opening right in one of the walls so that you can stoke the coals a little bit, make sure it's going. And on top, you put your pot. Now, the pot can either be suspended on top of like a grill, or it can be actually sitting in the fire, or it can, it can have handles on either side so that it's suspended in the air over the fire. Either way, if you can imagine, Rashi, the Chazal pointed out that a kira was big enough for at least two pots. So basically that's the imagery that you want to look at. And it's not really, nowadays it's not really a stove or an oven, but a kira was like an open fire pit almost, surrounded by stones, okay? So kira she'sikua bekasha v'gvava. Let's say you used kash, straw, and gvava is like stuff that you kind of gather up from the field. If you hisikua, the fuel inside of the kira is straw or these type of grass situation. So Rosalola Tafshil. You can put a pot on it, and we'll see exactly what the scenario is, but you can put a pot on it. I don't even want to say on Erev Shabbos or Shabbos because you're going to see there's a discussion in the Gemara. But you can put a pot on top of it. The bottom line is there's no Shemei Chata. You're not going to end up coming to stoke the grass or the straw or whatever it is, because you can't increase the fire, right? You can only stoke coals, right, if the fire is going to increase. If you stoke coals in a barbecue, so the heat temperature rises, the intensity of the fire rises. So kash and gvava are not subject to that decree. The gefes of eitzim, if you have some sort of charcoal situation or with trees or wood or whatever, lo yitain, you're not allowed to put a pot on top of it, aisha yigrof, until you sweep out the coals, oh, aisha yitain esa efer, unless you throw dirt or ash on top of them. Again, as a reminder, not to stoke the coals, either you remove them completely or you have something covering them so that you won't come to stoke the coals. Beishame omrim, Beishame says, chamin, you can put hot water on top, avalo tavshol, you're not allowed to put a dish. But Beisola Omrim, Beisola says, Chamin v'tavshel, you can put both. Beishame Omrim, Beishame says, Notlin, you can take it off. You're allowed to take off Avalom Achzirin, but you're not allowed to do Hachzara. You're not allowed to put a pot again, already that a food that's already been cooked. And Beisola Omrim, Af Machzirin, you're even allowed to be Machzir. To a Kira like this. Now, the Gemara is going to have... This is very open-ended, a lot of variables, and the Gemara is going to spend a lot of ink, and there's Machlokes all the way down through the Rishonim, Achronim, Shulchan Aruch, in terms of the exact halacha, but we're trying to figure out what is the case in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Iboilehu, what is going on? We asked a question. Hai lo yitain lo yachzirhu? Okay, before we dive into that, just give me 1 second. Okay, so just, sorry about that, I was outside and it was freezing, so I had to come inside. It got very cold, it rained over Shabbos. Sorry, anyway, like this. Just a preface, before we get into the Gemara, there's a machlokas between Chananya and the Chachamim in terms of what and when Shehiyah and Hachzara are aser. According to Chananya, if food is already machal ben drusoy, meaning it's already minimally cooked, we said that before, Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. Rashi says it's a third, Rambam says it's a half cooked. But either way, if the food is a half or a third cooked, if it's Machal Ben Drusoy, minimally edible, so then Shehiyah is Mutter regardless. Shehiyah is Mutter regardless. Only Hachzara, putting something back on the fire source, that's going to be Aser. But according to Chachamim, even Shehiyah can be Aser in certain situations. So the Gemara now is going to ask, what's going on? What's the case in the Mishnah that we're talking about? Are we talking about Shehiyah, or are we talking about Hachzara? Now keep the machlokes between Chananya and the Chachamim in mind. So Ibai Lehu, we ask the question. Hai lo yitain, what is this lo yitain? When we said in the Mishnah, lo yitain, achi yigrof, o achi yitain is ha'ifer. So you can't put the pot on top of this kira until you either cover the coals or pull them away. So the Gemara, what is that? Does that mean lo yachzerhu? You're not allowed to return. You're not allowed to do hachzara. Avalishos mashin, but shehiyah is mutter. Aval pish enogarif enokatum, even if the kira has not been attended to, meaning the fire, the coals are still there. You haven't either swept them away or put dirt on them. Umani, and who is the mandam or who is the author of our Mishnah? Chananyehi, it's Chananya, Detanya Lechmanin Darbaisa. Chananya Omer, Chananya says, Kol Shu Kamachal Ben Drusoy. If the food is Machal Ben Drusoy, it's minimally edible. So Mutter Lahasho So Agabi Kira, Afopish Eno Garifokatum, Veino Katum. Right, it's Mutter to do Shehiyah, even if the Kira is not, the coals are still there and they're not attended to. O Dilma, or maybe, Lishos Tanan. Really, when it says lo yitain, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do shehiyah, you're not allowed to leave it on the kira mibod yom, on Erev Shabbos, vigarfu katum in, and if the coals are swept away or either put out with some dirt in, then it is mutter, ilo lo. But if it's not, you're not allowed to do shehiyah on an open, cold C-O-A-L-E-D, if the kira, meaning if the kira still has the coals in it. The kol shein lachzir, and certainly you're not allowed to do achzara if the coals are still there. So tashma, let's try and prove. Midi katani trei bavi the Mishnah, the masnisa. It's the fact that we have two statements in our Mishnah. Right? What's that? Veshamei omer mechamei v'altavshil, veshamei omer mechamei v'tavshil. Veshamei says you can only do that for hot water and not for a dish. And Veshil says you can do it for hot water and a dish, either or. Veshamei omer, and then Veshamei says notlin avalom achzirin, you can take it off the fire, but you can't put it back. And you can even put it back. So, if you say, like we said originally, I understand, it makes sense, that we're talking about Shehiyah, that the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, Lo Yitain, is talking about Shehiyah, leaving it on the fire of Shabbos. So,
So then, Harigetani, this is what the Mishnah means. This is how the Mishnah reads well. Kira shesikua v'gashu b'gavava, if you have a kira that was fueled with either straw or grass, mashin aleha tavshil, you're allowed to leave the tavshil on it me'erev Shabbos, b'gehefes u'be'itzim, but if you have either some sort of charcoal or wood, lo yasha, you're not allowed to do that, actually you go fogashi te'nefer, until you pull out the coals or you put dirt on top of it. Umahin mashin, and what are you allowed to leave on the kira erev Shabbos? Beishamrei omrim, Beishamrei says chamen aval lo tavshil, Beishamrei omrim chamen v'tavshil. Okay, v'kihechi the pligi belishos, and if they argue about shehia, the pligi nami b'la'achzer. Certainly they argue about hachzara. Beishamrei omrim no klin aval lo machzir, no Beishamrei omrim af machzir. So if you learn that the Mishnah is talking about shehia, so I understand that that makes sense, because then you have shehia in the first part of the Mishnah. And Achzara, the second part of the Mishnah. But if you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about Achzara, so Harikatani, this is what the Mishnah means. Kira Shesigur Bakashu Bhagavah Machzirin ala Tapshil. If you have a Kira that's fueled by straw or grass, you're allowed to do Achzara for a Tapshil. Gems Ba'itzim, but if it's fueled with charcoal or wood, Lo Yachzir, Ashigrova Ashitin Efer. You're not allowed to return food to the open kira unless the coals have been taken away or you put on dirt on top of them. Umahi machzirin, and what are you allowed to do abzara with? Beishamei omrim chamin avol tavshil, beisil omrim chamin mitavshil, beisil it says you can put anything back, and beishamei says only hot water and not an actual dish. Beishamei omrim notlin avol lo machzirin, beisil omrim af machzirin, and then they have the same machlokas again. About Hakzara, Hasu Lamali, what do you need this second Machlokas for? You just told me the Machlokas in the first part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara is actually going to give the answer on the next Amud. We're going to stop here, holding our breath a little bit, just because that's the end of the blot. Really, the discussion goes well into Lamed Zion and beyond. So we're going to hold it here. But the Gemara is going to say, there is a way to teach me that the Mishnah is talking about Achzara, and then we're going to have to bring a different proof, right? Meaning that really the Mishnah's language can be either Hananya or the Chachamim, but Mitz Hashem will go weiter and tackle that tomorrow. Okay, Rabbi Say, good morning, Chag Sameach, and we'll go weiter in Shas tomorrow.